The topic of today's talk, which I will repeat multiple times during the talk, is, it is not the thing. It is how we think about the thing. For the average person in America, if they're unhappy, it is thought that the unhappiness is due to a thing. That thing is either something that is in short supply, in which case, of course, we need to get more of the thing, or it can be present as an oversupply, and that means we have too much of the thing, and that's the reason we're unhappy, and we got to get rid of it. It's not the thing. It's how we think and feel about the thing. We're five senses oriented, so we give a lot of importance to things outside of ourselves. If I had a newer car, a bigger house, nicer clothing, a new hairstyle, a new, more expensive watch, I would be happier and I would feel better about myself in the world. That's a common attitude. In our consumption-oriented economy, advertisers tell us what things we need more of in order to be happy. And we fall for it. If you made a list of the items advertised to you in a given day on television, you would be amazed. A few years ago, Marianne and I got disgusted with regular TV programs, and we started to watch the Hallmark Channel. What shocked me was the pharmaceutical drugs being advertised during the commercials. The number of drugs, the number of disease conditions, the number of hopeful, smiling actors, and the scary as hell list of negative side effects amazed me. I decided that mostly older people with health problems and a taste for syrupy sweet entertainment watch the Hallmark Channel. In the marketing of many products and services, helping, that's with air quotes, helping people have a problem makes them more vulnerable and more apt to buy the thing that will solve the problem, so speak the advertisers. Drug companies seem to create new conditions so they can advertise their medications as the treatment, as the thing. A lot of emphasis, subtle and blatant, is directed at your not enoughness. Accepting not enoughness sends people scurrying to doctors, pharmacies, barrooms, illicit affairs, to the medicine cabinet, liquor cabinet, and or the refrigerator, looking for relief from the bad feelings. Bruce Lipton, in his talks and his book, Biology of Belief, says that our perceptions activate genetic expression, or not. We are not dominated by our genes. Our genes are dominated by our perceptions. And I would add, our lives are dominated by our perceptions. It is not the thing. It is how we perceive ourselves in relationship that is the thing. As we go through life, we accumulate images, beliefs, experiences, judgments, superstitions, habits, grudges, and more. And this vast accumulation of energy patterns is for the purpose of our survival. If we don't survive, other important life processes, such as growth, nutrition, and nourishment, healing, protection, fulfillment of need, and work, will not matter because we didn't survive. Besides this vast inventory of energy patterns that we use to compare to current situations that we're faced with, we are influenced by our ego. As we compare our current situation to our inventory of materials, we're looking for, is this safe? Is this pleasurable? Is it dangerous? Am I going to lose? Is this going to cause me pain? And am I going to be made wrong? Am I going to decrease my chances of survival? The ego has the role of ensuring our survival and our dominance as an individual. Your ego is only concerned with you, and my ego is only concerned with me. When the ego is the master of the individual, either you or me or anybody else that we encounter, instead of being mastered by the individual, we end up with narcissistic, pathological, carn artists doing anything and everything to get their way, usually by convincing others that they are doing it all for them. In a conversation with a next-door neighbor recently, he told me of his wife's brother-in-law, who is coming to visit, and he's been diagnosed with ALS. I wonder if serious diseases have at their foundation an experience that shocks and breaks or collapses their energetic boundary. If we want to become connected, protected, and respected, and this event destroys that sense, we could be planting the seed thought or consciousness form that later manifests as diseases. I actually believe that is likely to occur. We all get shocked. The shock is not the thing. How we think and feel about the situation and ourselves is the thing. We are much more creative and causative than we realize. How we think and how we feel is how we create. This process is parallel to the story of creation in Genesis, in which God has said, "Let there be," fill in the blank, and upon its manifestation he said, "It is good." Now, I'm pretty sure God didn't speak English, so those words would have been in a different language. Of course, since nothing yet existed, God would have had to be talking to himself, either silently or aloud. And if he spoke aloud, we can't know if he spoke softly, like a whisper, or he spoke loudly. Furthermore, since no people existed who could serve as stenographers or diarists, it is unknown how we could say that God said this and God said that. Maybe when there were people who could write, God whispered. He would have to whisper, otherwise he could have damaged their hearing if he spoke loudly. And then he recited what those first 7 days were like, what he did, how pleased he was, and so on. The Bible is not the thing. How we think and feel about the Bible is the thing. Most people select chapters and verses that support their personal points of view and beliefs. I'm no different. If you're looking for justification to kill somebody, you can find it in the Jewish Bible pretty easily. Work is not the thing. How we think and feel about work is the thing. Your body is not the thing. How we think and feel about the body is the thing. Health, money, love, fun, contributing are not the things. How we think and feel about health, money, love, fun, and contributing are the things. Sex is not the thing. How we think and feel about ourselves in human connection is the thing. Talking is not the thing. How we think and feel about ourselves, expressing ourselves, and being heard is the thing. Maybe you and I are not the thing. Maybe the thing is how we think and feel and allow the source of our life to flow to us and through us. Maybe that's the thing. Don't you think that the best way to solve problems is to discover what causes led to the existence of the problems in the first place? I do. But in the Western medical model, that approach is not adopted. Chasing or removing symptoms are how doctors approach illness. They have as their primary tools the scalpel, chemicals, and radiation. Doctors don't question how an appendix got infected. They pull out the scalpel and perform surgery to remove the appendix. I am willing to bet the cause of appendicitis are dehydration leading to severe constipation, which affects and infects the appendix. But there is not much profit in people drinking plenty of good water, which will both hydrate them and lead to regularity. In all of our relationships, the one factor over which we have the most influence is how we think and feel about the objects of our attention. In using the convenient and easy to remember 10 emotional state scale, humans can move up and down the scale as they put their attention on something. If we put our attention on another person and that person puts their attention on us, we can independently move up and down the scale, depending on how we think and feel about ourselves, in the relationship with that other person. That situation differs when the object of our attention is a tree, a car, a project, or a chore. The tree, car, project, and chore, they don't move up and down the emotional state scale. Only we do. Here's how to prove to yourself, by yourself, that the thing is not the thing. Take a piece of lined paper. Starting at about 12 lines down on the left, write the following words, moving up one line at a time for each word. Shame, apathy, grief, fear, lust, anger, pride, and the top three, courageousness, above that, acceptance, and above that, peace. Easy to remember. If you took the first letters of each word, they would spell SAG, S-A-G, FLAP, F-L-A-P, CAP, C-A-P. Real easy to remember with just a teeny bit of practice. Now, you can select any one item in your life that could be mistaken for the thing, such as money, health, a home, love, a car, etc. I'm going to call it not thing. With that not thing in mind, draw a simple representation of it on the right side of your lined sheet of paper. You could draw a car, you could draw a dollar sign, you could draw a stick figure that represents a body, you could do any heart that just represents love, anything like that. Now, scan the list of the emotional states on the left and choose where you stand in your relationship with that particular not thing. Now look at the emotional state directly above the state that you chose. This should be your goal. One state above where you currently are should be your goal. Only Superman or Superwoman could leap tall emotional state scales in a single bound. You and I, on the other hand, climb a ladder one step at a time. You would have noticed that when you put your attention on anything, you shift into an emotional state. Excitement is often misunderstood and misinterpreted as fear, but they are vastly different. Excitement is an aspect of courageousness, which is a desirable state to be in. Some people are stuck in one or two emotional states, so their ability to translate incoming environmental signals is limited. They see things the same way no matter what the signals really could mean. They will take compliments and interpret them as insults. They could take a compliment and interpret it as a challenge to fight. They could take a compliment and see it as an insult that is demeaning to them and it is a ridicule. A person in shame will translate everything to reinforce the idea that there is something wrong with them. Some permanent defect exists, and this environmental signal is just another indication that that is true. A person in apathy will see situations as complicated, difficult to understand, overwhelming, and even hopeless. And that's where depression shows up. A person stuck in grief will process what they see, hear, and feel as loss. Everything reminds them of what they lost or lost out on. Fear is the emotion that is translated into a state that loss is real and a dangerous possibility. So you have to be careful of it. By the way, fear really means get more information. That's what it indicates. But a person who's stuck in fear sees it differently. Lust is about acquisition, being a strong, I must have this in order to be happy, compulsion. You see lust in people with addictions. people stuck in anger want to stop things. They criticize and take affront at being criticized. They find fault with many things and they're quick to expect attack. Pride literally comes before the fall. Pride is when a person so distorts their importance that they stop paying attention to the lesser things in life, such as people, informational accuracy, where they are walking or driving or what they're doing. If when you put your attention on any of these not things, like money, health, and so on, and you find yourself in any of these states, you have work to do to elevate your emotional state, which is the thing. If you and I can get up to the level of courageousness, we can follow Christ's suggestion to be like a child. If we're enthusiastic, if we're fun, if we're excited about growing and discovering what we're dealing with, we would have discovered the thing needed to create the lives we all want. That's the thing. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. Listen to it for the thing. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.